You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of two events this week. We have the Open d'Italia and the CIMB Classic on the agenda this week. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham, Dave Tindall all here in situ and ready to go through these two events with a fine tooth comb. But first of all, as we always do, let's have a quick word on last week. And we saw defences on both sides of the pond. Tyrrell Hatton won the Dunhill Links for the second successive year, and Brendan Steele retained his title in the Safeway Open. And we also had, Mike, course records falling left and right north of the border as well, with Ross Fisher closing with a record 61 at St Andrews on Sunday. And earlier in the week, Tommy Fleetwood shot 63 around Carnoustie as well, so it was one of those low-scoring weeks.
It was, because... But they make them easier for the amateurs, don't they, those events? So they're not the most fascinating, are they, that event? It's, I don't like 61s, do you?
No, I don't.
You know I don't.
I think with those being pro-ams, they've got to set the courses up like that, haven't they?
Of course they do, yeah. And it's great to see Hugh Grant and people like that every year. It's lovely.
Tyrrell Hatton, pretty impressive, though, Dave, to win back-to-back.
Very much so, yeah. Did you see on Twitter, has anyone ever done that, you know, two on both tours in the same week?
I think it has happened before.
Right.
Defending champions.
Yeah, I can't remember when. I think it has happened at least once before.
Yeah, I guess we all gave him a chance. I'm sure we discussed him, but his price was obviously quite prohibitive. But he loves that style of golf, doesn't he? And you put him up the year before, didn't you, at 66s, and what did he go off at, 16s or something this year?
Yeah.
Absolutely loves that event. Mm. Yeah, that 61, I saw Gary Player tweet that it's a shame what's happened to the old course, that it's kind of a bit redundant, but like you said, it's not going to play like that in an Open, is it?
Mm. Well, it does a little bit, does it? Not as easy, but it can be easy, the St Andrews, can't it? You know, even in an Open, if the weather's decent.
Yeah, you can get these runs of birdies, can't you, in a row? But
Do you love watching golf at St Andrews?
Not that week, no.
Yeah.
Normal week.
That's my opinion.
Well, normal week, as in an Open.
Sacrilege.
But it's a bit of a laugh, isn't it? But you got the same winner, so it's not random, is it?
No.
No, clearly loves it, Hatton, playing the Dunhill Links event. Let's get stuck into this week then, because we've got a couple of decent events. The one in Italy, especially decent this season, with it being part of the Rolex series. And John Rahm is the 13-2 favourite. Francesco Molinari, last year's winner, is 14-1. Sergio Garcia is 14-1. Tyrrell Hatton is 16s. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 20-1. Alex Noren and Tommy Fleetwood, both 22s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. This event has attracted a high-class field this year. And given that the course, which is the Golf Club Milano, is hosting for the third consecutive year, it's an event that has some consistency and is one that punters and viewers can very much look forward to. The two previous editions of this at this venue have been low scoring as well. Francesco Molinari won with a total of 22 under par last year, and in 2015 Rickard Karlberg came through in a playoff against Martin Kaymer. The winning score that year was 19 under par. I'm guessing this is an event that you don't like as well, Mike.
I'm having a bet in it. It's a little bit of a birdie fest, isn't it? But I'm having a bet on a guy who were you looking at me to give my tip?
Yeah,
I've started now, so I'll finish.
please do.
The Portugal Masters, he won at 20 under, so I'm going to give Lucas Gerrigard a run here. I think he's a guy who does seem to play well in events where you have to get... He's not a very good... You know, on the starts, he's not an incredibly good putter, but any time he features, it does tend to be somewhere around the 20 under wins the event, which was the case. He missed the cut at the weekend in the Alfred Dunhill, which is a bit of an odd event. We have to acknowledge it, you know, on the links there. But before that was 8th, 1st and 9th in his previous three events. So I was surprised to see 55-1 about him this week. I think he's got, you know, cracking each way chance. And his form on this course is 3rd and 20th in the last 2 years. Mm. So now he's got that win under his belt. I think he's a player of some potential, have done for quite a long time. And I think this Birdie Fest on a course where he's performed well makes 55-1 have some appeal to me.
Yeah, it's an easy course, as we mentioned at the top of the preview. It only measures 7,153 yards, Dave. Tree-lined, I don't think driving accuracy or distance necessarily a factor. Really a second-shot golf course, this one.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously, set up lots of opportunities, and if you can take your fair share, then you're always going to do well. So, yeah, hitting greens, I think, is important this week. And one of those ones, isn't it? John Rahm could kind of make mincemeat of everybody if he's really on it.
Yeah, it's just a question of whether he is after that little spell. Not spell on the sidelines, but he's had a few weeks off, hasn't he?
Not that many weeks off. I mean, he played all 4 weeks of the... there's a week off in between, but he played all 4 weeks of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and seventh was his worst finish in that calibre of field. So, yeah, that is a different grave, isn't it, to most of this field.
How many picks have you got, Dave?
Well, I'm going to include him in a double, in a very obvious double, okay. So we'll leave that one. I was close to putting up Alexander Levy, who likes a birdie fest, but I'm actually going to throw a dart this week at somebody. You'll have to scroll a long way down.
Okay.
150-1.
Alejandro Canizales?
No, Matt Wallace.
Matt Wallace, okay.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Mike's picked the Portugal Masters winner. I've picked the Open de Portugal winner. Mm. Matt Wallace won that with 21 under at the start of the year. Well, not the start of the year, but in May, I think it was. Mm. Then had a kind of, I can't believe I've just done that dip and missed lots of cuts. But he's bounced back well, I think. After that, he was sixth in the Made in Denmark, where he shot a 64 and a 65, again showing that ability to go low. Ninth in the KLM Open in Holland. Another good week, four rounds in the 60s. He was going quite well, actually, in the Alfred Dunhill Links, 69, 67, but couldn't keep track in the end. But I just think on a fairly easiest course, this is a guy who won six times on the Alps tour. And I know that's at a lower level, but if you're winning, aren't you? And it's just a good habit he's in. And having done it once this year, this is a much harder task, but I've just got a feeling he's been a bit underrated with that sort of price in a tournament where you don't have to produce amazing technical golf and win it with sort of 2 under or something like that. I think he can just make hay and do what he does well and make lots of birdies.
Big price.
It is a big price. Matt Wallace at 150-1. I've got a couple of picks in the event, which I'll just spin through quickly. Both young and improving players. The first one's Joachim Lagergren at 66-1. I'm playing him a point each way. I must admit, we'll go through a couple at the top end of the market, but Fitzpatrick and Fleetwood were two on my mind. But Lagergren has threatened to break through this season. Finished in a tie for second in one of the early season events in Qatar. But it's his most recent form that's eye-catching. He finished in a tie for 9th at the KLM Open and a tie for 12th at the Dunhill Links at the weekend, with a missed cut in the British Masters sandwiched in between. But he ranks a respectable 44th for greens in regulation this season and has made his cut on both visits to this golf course with a third-place finish in 2015, reading particularly well. So I liked Lagergren at 66. And the other one I liked was Natural Vera, at 80-1 here with William Hill. And I'd have thought that he might have made his breakthrough on tour this season after a wonderful 2015 campaign. He's recorded a number of top quality finishes so far this season, and he was actually the leading graduate from the Challenge Tour last season, having failed to retain his card a few years before. But he's got a remarkable 5 top 20s in his last 8 starts on tour, including a tie for 7th in the Portugal Masters and a tie for 11th in the British Masters in 2 of his last 3. He suffered at Carnoustie, as many do, on Saturday last week en route to a missed cut, but that's easily forgivable. And given that he finished in a tie for 3rd in this event last year, I thought he was worth throwing a few quid at 80-1. So a couple of at decent prices, Lagergren at 66 and Elvira at 80s for me.
Very good, very good, Dave. Alex Noren looks at a reasonably big price at 22s. He's not played here before, but he had that miscut in the British Masters. I think his wife had just had a baby, and he was in very good form in the main before that. Matt Fitzpatrick, who you mentioned, I think he should go well this week, shouldn't he? He's got course form, and he looks like a top player to me. But they'd be the ones at the top of the market that caught my eye. John Rahm's obviously got a massive chance.
Yeah, it's the perfect venue for Fitzpatrick, isn't it? A tree-lined short course.
Yeah.
Hit lots of greens, make lots of putts.
Yeah, I guess. I suppose a lot of those at the front of the market, they're exactly the sort of price I was sort of expecting them to be. I know that's quite often the case when you look at a market, but it was kind of, yeah, that's about right, that's about right. So I couldn't quite, you know, get it. Have you been 25 to something maybe? Or I don't know, I was just hoping. But now I think a lot of them you can give chances to. Molinari's won his home open twice, so he can clearly handle the pressure. Garcia could go well, you know. But Fleetwood, you get the feeling Fleetwood might do for a while what he did last week, shoot one brilliant round and then get a bit
rusty, do you think?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. Mm. The baby and just having not played much.
Yeah, I think those that say that John Rahm would be suited by a more wide open track are a distance off the mark, really, because you think of the way he played at Colonial on a course that you think maybe might not have suited him, that tree line technical track, and he should have won that week.
Yeah, and then the Irish Open, you would have thought, does he know how to play Lynx golf? And then he wins it by a mile, doesn't he? So, yeah, he's a bit of a freak that deserves kind of, you know, to be the price he is.
Let's have a look at the CIMB Classic, which is the PGA Tour event in Malaysia this week. And Justin Thomas, who is going for the three-peat, which is one that you can mark off your bingo card. 4-1 market leader here. Hideki Matsuyama is 9-1. Paul Casey is 12-1. Xander Schauffele is 20s. 22s, actually, Xander Schauffele. Anibal Lahiri, 28s. Brendan Steele, 28s. Charles Schwartzel, 28s. Gary Woodland, 28s. And it's 30s bar. And this is his event, Thomas. Not only has he won twice at this golf course, this time he arrives with confidence as well, a major championship under his belt, and the FedEx Cup secured. He's shot 26 under and 23 under in his two starts here. I suppose the question is, Mike, is there anyone that can stop him, defy him, landing the hat-trick?
Well, he's got a massive chance, and I'm a big fan of Justin Thomas, as you know. And, yeah, that's 49 under in the last 2 years.
Which is ludicrous, isn't it, really?
It's ridiculous when you think it's about absurd. It, isn't it? But I've got a couple of bets, yeah, I have. Yeah. I wouldn't say they're as strong as Beauregard in the other event, but yeah, I've got a couple to give him. You've picked one of the same players,
isn't it? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I looked down when you were doing that, and you were on the same man.
Oh, good.
For my second bet. But my first bet is Gary Woodland, who's got 2 seconds here. Then, rather bizarrely, 2.56, which is quite symmetrical, isn't it? So I'm hoping he goes first and first in his next two outings here. Yeah, Woodland would need to putt at his best. He's not absolutely the best putter, and you've got to... I don't think it's an outrageous claim to say that you've got to putt pretty well when you're winning at 26 under, which is what you need. So that is a slight reservation about him, but he does bag a lot of birdies, and he's definitely good at his shots approaching the green, those kind of stuff. So he'll give himself plenty of chances on a course that he really likes. Has been in decent form, not necessarily spectacular, but after a fourth in Canada a couple of months ago, he finished the playoffs pretty well with 18th, 27th and 19th in the last three events there. Should have finished a little bit higher in the Tour Championship, actually. Just had a bad final round. So, look, Woodland loves the course. Second here twice. 28-1, I just think, provides a little bit of each-way value against, obviously, a very strong market leader in Justin Thomas.
Yeah, 28-1, Gary Woodland is Mike's first pick. And this is a straightforward assignment for these players, Dave, if they can handle that humidity. I mean, the West Course at Kuala Lumpur Country Club only measures 7,000 yards. 4 short par fives as well for the players to feast on, and the greens aren't quick. Aggression is rewarded at this venue, and I think that's why Thomas has done so well here.
Yeah, I think he'll be hard to beat. Well, shall I say now, I'm going to just have a point on the Thomas Rahm double.
Just straight win double?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
So do you want to just price that up?
Yeah,
because
I will.
It's not the worst price, really.
It's 36.5-1.
To me, that seems... If you say something like Bernd Wiesberger winning... I find that quite hard, but you're getting over 36-1 on something that just seem glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
So I think that's worth just a point, just in mind that, I don't know, this time of year, maybe more in the silly season events or what we used to call them, you do tend to get the doubles landing at this time of year. So it's always a good opportunity, I think, to cash in on these sort of quite quirky tournaments. Certainly the one in the CIMB that produces repeat winners.
And it happened last week, didn't it? I think that was
so
could have been an obvious
mind.
Double.
Yeah. That would have been a
having said that,
price.
It'd been about 400-1 double.
Yeah, they weren't the two favourites.
No, they weren't, but both defending champions, both towards the top of the betting.
It's just sort of like a sporting point on those two at 36-1. As for an individual pick, a little bit less, 30-1. I'm going to go with Ian Poulter.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he's just, you think of where he's won around the world, and often you look down his list of wins, and there's quite a few in Asia, and he's won in Singapore, won the Hong Kong Open, he's won in Japan, he's won in China, the HSBC Champions. That's partly the reason why I'm picking him. He wants to qualify for that this year, because it's an event he's won before, but to do that, he needs to get inside the world's top 50.
Okay.
And he's 54th. So he was speaking at the British Masters saying that's a goal of his, to get inside that top 50, then he'll get into the HSBC. And he did pretty well there, but didn't quite make the jump he wanted. He was tied 11th at Close House. I thought it was a pretty good knock from Poulter. We've seen him second at the Players' Championship, third in Canada, play well in the Scottish Open when he was 9th, and that 11th at the British Masters. Has had one go at this track and finished 17th, which was decent enough. So he put all of it together, plays really well in Asia, that incentive, and he loves an incentive, doesn't he, Poulter, to sort of chase some little goal that he's got to do. And that, I think that's okay for 30-1 in a, what is it, a 78-man field?
Yeah, worth mentioning that, because we are a quarter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on this event rather than a fifth 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 on the Italian, because it is a limited field with just 78 in there. So Ian Poulter at 30-1.
Yeah, just his experience in the country on that top 50 aim.
Okay, shall I lead off with this one then, Mike?
Yeah.
Or do you want to?
Yeah. Well, no, you lead off. We've got the same player, of course, Dave, yes.
Scott Piercy, a point each way at 40-1. Piercy, I think, is a player, Mike, that's always best when aggression is rewarded.
Definitely.
And given his course form, read 7th and 10th in his two starts, I thought 40s was definitely fair. Mm. It's actually, we talk sometimes about different grasses used. You've got bent grass, Bermuda, Poana. This is being played on Seaside Paspalum, the greens are anyway. And the only other real PGA Tour event with this sort of surface is Mayakoba. And he's got a good record at Mayakoba in Mexico. And he comes into this on the back of a 17th place finish at the Safeway last week, which I think will have shaken off the rust, hopefully, for Scott Piercy. All three of his wins have come with totals of 19 under, 17 under, and 15 under. And I think you've got to be looking at birdie average this week as well, and he ranked 9th in that stat last season. So Piercy is a man where, if you've got to go low, he's a player to watch. And I thought 40s was fair.
There's a chance, Dave, isn't there, that he might bounce this week? He not play so well after play well on his comeback, but then need a bit of a time off after it refresh again. But and hopefully not. He's been off since June, so he was 5th for strokes gained putting last week, top 10 for putts in greens and regulation, 5th for birdie. So all the things that you've said are the reasons that I'm willing to take a chance on him. Hopefully he'll be able to continue that great comeback that he had. Top 20 last week was really an eye-catching one for me coming into this event. So I just thought I couldn't leave him out with his form here and all the things that you've said. So yeah, good each-way chance, I think, at 40s in this reduced field.
Yeah, hopefully he'll go well. Scott Piercy at 40-1. Any others you want to mention, Dave?
Yeah, I was going to have one final tip, just half a point each way on Hao Tong Lee. I did wonder if you might put him
66-1. Yeah, I did have a look at him, yeah.
Yeah, obviously we saw him play brilliantly in the Open when he was third, that superb final round. He actually played in the European Tour event in Malaysia earlier this year and was 5th, so it was a good little kind of note there. Obviously playing in Asia as well. I just think...
He'd be used to that, to be fair. Would he?
What?
Played in Asia.
Generally. Although he's only 12 years old. So not many of it. But he has gone... He's played on the web.com as well, hasn't he? He's sort of travelled around a bit. So I think he's picked up some good stuff. I know it's his first start in this event, but clearly, having beaten everybody bar Spieth and Kuchar, it's not like he's got to achieve something he's never done before. He's beaten a lot of these in the event. Won the China Open, so he has won on the European Tour. Mm. I thought 66-1, because if you look back at the, I think we've had 4 or 5 runnings of this event, you've always got an Asian player in the top 5. I mean, a good one at that, but I think he is a good one.
Oh, I agree.
So maybe he's the one. A little mention to Gavin Green as well, who always sounds like he's sort of clothing equipment, but he's sort of very well regarded in Asian circles, Gavin Green. I think he might be one who you might start to see pop up in European Tour events when it goes over that way.
80-1 for Gavin Green. One man that I had a look at was Adam Hadwin, who I think is 66-1. Oh, he was 66-1, Hadwin. And
50s.
Oh, is he 50s? He's just been cut then. He was 66-1 early on in the day. I think he will have taken quite a lot away from the President's Cup, despite only picking up half a point. That was in that matchup with Spieth and Reed in the four balls on Friday, and he carried Hideki Matsuyama that afternoon. And I think he'll play well. I just worry about whether this is the right type of course for him. His strokes gained approach aren't fantastic or weren't last season, so he needs to sharpen up his wedge game. But I think he'll have taken quite a bit out of that President's Cup, and I think he's a top player.
Good player, isn't he? I wouldn't be that interested in the 9-2 on Matsuyama, would you?
No, he played really well in the Sunday singles which could have been an aberration, but he's fallen off a cliff, hasn't he?
It was very mixed, to say that. He did play very well in the singles, you're right, but before that it was like...
I think I saw...
It was horrible.
Wasn't it?
Oh, I think I saw an interview with him this morning, interviewed at the tournament this week, and he said something like he'd gone home and felt ill. He's not right. He's been ill in China. In Japan last week.
That's interesting.
So he's talking himself down a little bit.
I think if you had a choice between Matsuyama and Thomas this week, you'd go with Thomas, wouldn't you, over Matsuyama?
At the moment, totally at the moment.
And I'm not buying the has he got the incentive as well line here, because I just think he freewheels Thomas. I just think he at the moment he just loves playing golf. It doesn't matter where he's doing it. He's so aggressive. He just likes making birdie after birdie after birdie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fascinating to see how he does in this 2017-18 season, won't it? Whether he can continue his progress. He's got a challenge to do that. It's always hard to follow up, isn't it? Even Jordan Spieth struggled a little bit to follow up his monumental year. So I think he's a great talent, but it'll be interesting to see how he starts off his... this year, you know, this campaign, albeit we're still in the same year, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's recap the picks then. Mike, lead us off.
Italian Masters, Lucas Sheregard at 55-1. I'm going to have... What shall I have on him?
You fancy him, don't you?
I do fancy him, yeah. 1.5 each way.
Okay. I'm going with, in the Open d'Italia, I'm going Joachim Lagergren, 1 each way at 66-1, and 0.5 each way on Nacho Elvira at 80-1.
Yeah, in Italy, I'll have 0.5 each way on Matt Wallace at 150s. Then I'll do that Rahm Thomas double, which is what, 36.25-1?
36.5-1.
Oh, even better. a point win on that. And then also in the CIMB, I'll have 0.5 each way on Ian Poulter at 30-1. And 0.5 each way on Hao Tongli at 66s.
I'm going in the CIMB Classic, just a one pick, 0.5 each way, Scott Pearce at 40-1.
I'll have a point win, 0.5 place on the same player.
Yep.
And the same on Gary Woodland at 28.
Very good. And who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who would hurt you most if they managed to get over the winning line?
Alex Noren.
I think I'd have to go with... I was so close to putting up Matt Fitzpatrick, so probably Matt
and
Fitzpatrick.
And another vote for him as well.
Okay, yeah. Two votes for Matt Fitzpatrick.
What price is he?
He is 20-1.
I think he's got big chances for him myself.
I think if I was doing like cross doubles in the event, I'd definitely have him in somewhere along the line. Thank you everyone for your company. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dave Tyndall Golf, at M Grenham, at D Kellner. Do enjoy your betting on the two events this week, the Italian Open and the CIMB Classic. Make sure you check out all the odds here with William Hill by going to sports.williamhill.com or on the app, and tell your friends about this podcast, which you can get at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, or you can find us on iTunes as well. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.